What's going on, you guys? I'm Jordan Sloan.
I'm Logan Mulder.
And I'm Logan Sloan.
And we are Clockwork, and this is... Rock Paper Podcast!
Welcome to Rock Paper Podcast, episode 34. My name is Chris Bemeter.
I'm Shane Presley.
Remember, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, all social media aspects. And again, I want to thank Jimmy for making our cool Shane's World video that he helped us shoot through the other day. Me and Shane are not professional actors, despite many people probably think we are. But he made us look somewhat funny, so I appreciate Jimmy for sitting down and hanging out with us and shooting that. So it was a good time. And I probably was pulling hair out of my mouth for like a week. That wig. So on this episode, we have the first returning guests ever. Last time we talked with these guys, we were sitting in the nice warm weather under a pavilion that was, we were talking about wasps above us.
Yeah.
So Jordan, Logan, and Logan of Clockwork, thanks for coming back on and hanging
out,
man.
Yes. Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah. So we're in a way nicer environment this time.
No wasps.
No wasps.
There's very few.
Yeah.
There might be a squirrel, though.
There may
be.
Yeah, for sure.
Watch out.
I'm open to that. That's a little cool. It's nice, though. Like, I remember being in a band and, like, playing in, like, basements and... Like, this is just beautiful. I like
it. Oh, we got the casino carpet and everything.
Yeah, we had this room built. The person that built it was is a friend of ours, and actually our neighbor. And it was a Christmas gift that we just showed up, and he had all this extra, like, casino carpet from Ameristar because they had, like, torn it all up and put new in. He was like, oh my gosh, we have all these awesome cutouts. Let's just go bring this over to the Sloan's house. Or
so
like,
we just installed a bunch of casino carpet. It looks like a Chuck E. Cheese.
So like if you,
yeah, it looks like we practiced.
If you guys
Chuck
push
cheese.
A button, it like the whole floor flips and there's like a craps table and there's like weird, crazy stuff all over the place.
Yeah, if you look closely, all of the amps and guitars have been glued to the floor. So nothing is out of place when the place flips back.
Yeah. It's nice. Security cameras. And I like the. Is that a projector?
It is. We used to have a giant screen over on this wall, and we could watch one movie.
I think we watched Scott Pilgrim while we played. While we had practice a couple times.
There you go.
It's pretty distracting.
We would try to like put up YouTube videos of like large crowds.
Yeah.
As if we're playing for thousands and thousands on.
Yeah. Helps the ego a little bit. We're gonna start doing that on our podcast. These weird like people celebrating and stuff.
Hooray!
Yeah. Just after every intro, and that's
gosh.
Pretty sweet. So you guys got a new record coming out. When we were talking to you guys last, I think you were in the middle of the crowdfunding campaign going.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So the album is now done, and December 13th you guys have the album release party, or CD release party.
We do.
Yes. Duck Room at Blueberry Hill.
That is right.
So you guys are probably just totally bummed that you guys have to had to record a CD, right?
No, we were just, yeah, that was the worst.
It was terrible.
God.
Yeah.
So,
I just hate so much that we get to share 13 new songs with everybody.
I can just tell, like, it just looks like, this just looks like a bum environment where you have to play music, and I'm just sorry.
Yeah, it's a rough life that we live, but somebody had to live it.
Yeah.
So
I got to hear some of it on the way over, and it's awesome. Like, I heard the song that you guys, I can't remember what the title was, that you played for us acoustically, and hearing it, like, the recorded version.
Long I feel like it was Long Way Down.
Yeah,
yes.
Long Way Down, yeah.
It was awesome, but the record just was a blast. So what was it like... recording that, like, how was it?
That was that was one of four songs we got to do with a guy named Vance Powell, and it was really awesome recording with Vance and his hand Eddie. I don't know what to call Eddie, but he was like
his assistant.
Yeah, he's like his main man, like, his right hand guy.
Yeah,
he's also an engineer, but I guess he's been working with Vance for a few years. But Vance is the guy that Jack White uses to record all of his stuff and produces with Jack White. And so that was just really cool, being able to work with someone. Like, he's won Grammys for engineering.
Well, I think the coolest thing was the last day that we went to go record with him, when we walked in, he actually had, he was still in the middle of mixing Jack White's Live at Bonnaroo.
Yeah.
He had on his mixing board.
It was on his board, like, all scaled out and everything. He was like, oh, yeah, there's Jack White's Bonnaroo performance.
No,
he's like, I gotta finish that today. And I was like, oh, that's not a big deal.
Right.
If I get some time and just, you know, a little hobby.
Yeah.
It was actually really funny. It was Vance's 50th birthday, and Jack had just brought over a new orange amp head that said, "Orange, you glad you made it to 50?" And they signed it. It was just like kind of. It was like so weird that like we're at a place where like this is a frequent visitor. Yeah,
just, right. Just like, present.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, just a gift. No big deal.
We're a bunch of fangirls over Jack.
Yeah. Yeah.
Couldn't tell. That's all right. That's all right.
It's just increasing with every day.
Yeah. Now, where was it you guys recorded at? Was it?
Sputnik Sound Studio was where we did those four, or the bit of four, okay. Yeah, in Nashville.
I thought you guys owned Nashville. I couldn't remember if that's what it was. Mm-hmm. So.
But that was just for Long Way Down, Stay With Me, Be Sure, and We Stood Tall.
Okay. So
those are the four we did with Vance.
Gotcha.
And yeah, the other ones we did a lot in Nashville, actually.
Yeah,
I think the majority was Nashville.
Chris Granger also.
Chris Granger
in
was
Nashville.
Our other. Yeah.
And that, I think those sound really awesome, too.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And, well, pretty much everything, I think, it's like our best sounding CD, definitely.
Yeah. We're so proud of it because just everything that's on the CD is something that we're so like into. I don't know, like I feel like we didn't cut any corners and try to make anything that was like we're doing this song specifically to please somebody or doing this song.
Trying
like,
to get this one thing because and both of our other albums, like we did Mashi Mashi on the first one so we could get into Lufest because we had to have a cover.
Yeah.
And the other one, we just had to, like, write certain songs, just like, you guys should try to write this style.
What Makes You Think was a pop song we did just to see if we could fit into a pop genre. And, like, that's strictly, like, more pop than some
like
of the other stuff.
Pop punk, almost.
Yeah. And we're, I mean, I would say that our stuff is probably, for the majority of it, it's pop rock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's, the other stuff was just a little bit more, pop punky. And it just wasn't us. But we tried to fit it anyways because we thought, like, this might be a good idea.
Yeah.
And so...
No, this album is just all what we wanted to do.
Yeah.
So it's cool.
So was there anything compared to when you recorded before, recording, like, this new album that you learned? Like, was there, something you came away from and you're like, holy cow, I didn't even expect
this,
you know?
We actually... What I like about this album a lot more is we did a lot more live tracking.
Okay.
On the first long album, on the last one we put out to sea, a lot of that was the whole step by step recording where you do like drums, bass, go back maybe touch something up on drums, do a little bit of guitar, then a little bit of vocal, and then but with this one it was actually kind of just more like we'll do scratch vocal with bass, guitar, and drums all at once,
which is really cool to get the energy of a live feel.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And like I don't want to say that our album sounds like a live album, but it definitely has so much more impact within the songs and emotion that you capture in a live setting, because it's one of the things we feel like or felt like. With our other stuff, we had very good quality recordings, but they didn't really capture the way the songs felt.
Yeah.
And I think with this album, we were able to capture so much more of how the songs feel in a live setting, but transfer it over to the professional sound of a recording studio.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. Just seeing some bands, whether it's like documentaries recording, like when you record live and it's not just like, okay, drummer, go over there and record and go to a click track and just, by your... When you do it as a band, you can get such more higher energy that, like you said, doesn't sound like it's a live album, but there's still a conveyance of high energy that you may not get where it's like, okay, you go play.
A new feel. Like, you feel that they're together and, like, they're working as a band,
One of the coolest...
Instead of musicians separately doing their thing,
Yeah.
And one of the coolest things about some of my favorite albums is, like, when I'm listening to them and I just get excited. Like, I just literally just feel myself getting excited as the song is building. There's some of the stuff that we had done before, I really love the way it did, but I didn't feel like we had achieved that yet. We hadn't learned how to do that, and I feel like some of these songs, as you're listening to them, you're going to feel yourself getting just more and more excited, trying to see where the song is going.
Yeah, well, there's some, and I'm sorry, I don't know the name of the track, but like, there's shouts and stuff, like, where you're just like, woo, and just, like, there's parts that were just like, I love when there's stuff like that, because it just sounds like... You could have just, and maybe you did, just throw that out while you're recording. You're just like, I'm just digging it so
just
much.
Woos.
Just, hey, can we get a woo in there?
Yeah.
But no, just, and I think it's kind of part of you guys' sound, too, with part of harmony, but also, like, there's just a lot of, it just sounds like you guys are having a blast in your songs, and it's just, I enjoyed it from what I heard on that new album.
Awesome.
Just,
I'm pretty sure that was all right, that you can hear a woo.
I don't know if that's the right word. It may be like, you've got to be very careful with which word you choose. Can I get an ah?
I wouldn't necessarily admit to a woo, but
we're a little above a woo. I mean, come on, we're not amateurs here. Jeez. But it's, I think it just brings a lot of energy to it, and it's...
What is this, amateur hour?
Okay, I'm going to need four woos and an ah.
Hey, yeah.
Here's... I mentioned to Chris earlier before coming over about how since we talked last, Chris had his second child. And,
oh my gosh!
And
congratulations!
And
then, that is awesome, man.
Yes, little girl.
And then I got married. So how many kids and how many guys got married?
I have five actually.
Five kids.
He's got maybe. I have three. I'm working on the fourth.
I already was divorced.
It's a long process.
I got a fish.
I mean, we got one of those too. So what else you got? Saying, my son's pretty excited about it.
I didn't really get a fish.
That's all right. That's right. I didn't know we had a fish until I got home. And my wife's like, "Hey, Ricky wanted to fish." And
oh yeah.
So
you got married. Shane got married, and you had another kid. I think I've cut my toenails since we did the last one.
I just hate when people always got to make us feel inferior because we can't step up to what they do. Okay.
Yeah. I got a pretty substantial haircut.
Yeah.
Not really. It looks pretty much the same.
It felt like it was pretty substantial.
Yeah. But, I mean, we've since been divorced, and I put my children up for adoption. So.
Yeah. Oh, that's not good.
It went pretty dark there.
Yeah.
Here we are trying to keep it light.
Well, I mentioned Allwright with the, quote-unquote woos.
Yeah.
Woo-hoos.
If anybody ever comes up to me like, "Hey, I like that woo song," it's like, "Chris, you son of a bitch."
Yeah.
Darn it.
Oh, man.
You ruined the song. It's got a name.
Yeah.
But you guys, we got an official music video out for that one, right?
We do, yes. We were able to work with Ken Calcaterra on that. It was quite a journey getting it all done, just because we started really working on that before we even realized we were working on that. Ken had been out to a couple of shows just to watch us play and record, because he was talking about how he wanted to eventually work up a docu-series with the band. And it turned into an opportunity after he came and traveled with us to South by Southwest this past year.
Yeah.
It turned into the idea for, like, hey, like, you guys do this thing with this song. We go to places, we'll play it. Like coffee houses and Starbucks, for example, and really anywhere. And we just had this snippet to promote ourselves. And he noticed that, watched it, thought it was a great idea, and it could tell a story of how we are trying to progress as a band. And that's what was really captured in that video.
Yeah, it looked like, watching it, it looked like it was a lot of stuff from South by Southwest, I would assume, just because we talked about it last time, and just different places you were at. And Karen, I remember you mentioning, I think you guys don't have to carry like your equipment like a long ways.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And ridiculous amounts of it. See, like things like in ways you never thought you could carry stuff.
Yeah.
You carried stuff. Yeah. I think I had somehow saddled up Logan's thrown through a gig bag with two guitars in each hand, like by their handles, being all weird, and then was carrying like the signs bag around my back, and I just, by the end of it, I looked like I was waddling. It wasn't even like a real walk. Yeah, I like waddled a mile.
Like,
it was the same for all of us. Yeah.
Well, the best part was walking through the street that had like close to like 10,000 people.
Oh my gosh.
And people don't care down there. So they're just, they won't get out of the way. You know, you really got to like shimmy your way through.
And that was during the daytime that he's talking about. At nighttime, it went from 10,000 people just on that street that you were on to where you looked at all of 6th Street and you're like, there's got to be over 200,000 people here.
Yeah.
And it was ridiculous. It was to like when everything closed, I remember after we were, oh gosh, was it the Bourbon Girl? Was that the place that we stayed all night to see Tom Huddleston from the Plain White Tees?
Yeah.
From the Plain White Tees. He was playing with a band there that was like a side project band of his, and we ended up staying and like meeting with him and hanging out for a while, and it was really cool. But like you left at the end of that because like all the bars were like, "We're releasing, like everybody get out." And we're leaving this place, we look outside, and it was like shoulder to shoulder, like you're kind of scrunching yourself together just to like weave through the sea of all of these insane people.
Yeah.
it was nuts.
Yeah.
That's got to be awesome, though, to be able to, like, we played South by Southwest, because that means such an incredible...
it is a really, really amazing place.
That's nuts. So,
and we're going back this coming year.
There you go.
It's going to be awesome.
That's rad.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet. So you mentioned playing coffee houses, and that kind of leads us to a little Starbucks venture you guys did. Yes. Just short. So you played how many Starbucks in St. Louis?
Over 30, man.
Over 30. Geez.
Over 30 Starbucks.
From, yeah. I think the final number was 34. Yeah. Yeah.
So how did that idea come up, and did you get any free coffee?
You know, we actually did.
We were offered free. Oh yeah, we actually.
I did get a free coffee at SLU University.
I think there was about 10 of the Starbucks that
we're like, oh, you guys want?
Yeah. Yeah. We're like, you want coffee? I was like, no. I've been to 30 other Starbucks today.
I'm shaking. I don't know if you can tell. I haven't had food. I've only had espresso. Espresso. Espresso.
Espresso is
though.
Yeah. You got put that picture on. Somebody gave you a Bradley's coffee.
Yeah, yeah. I guess Bradley didn't get his coffee. Yeah.
Actually, I don't even know that Bradley didn't want his coffee. They just totally skipped him and were like, Bradley, I'm sorry, you were just deserving of this coffee. They thank you for
Bradley
paying.
Was like, wait, what?
Oh, no.
I want coffee
too. Yeah.
So did you guys just decide just one day, like, let's just go to Starbucks and play?
It was more than that. It was with all of the craziness that's gone on in St. Louis, with the Michael Brown incident and the Ferguson protests,
mm-hmm.
As far as getting coverage for anything outside of what is happening in St. Louis with that specifically, it's been really difficult because that is the top news in all of America. Yeah. And so, it's reaching all over the world. So it was harder for us to really reach out to some of these places like Fox 2 News and like Y98 and The Point even. We were unable to get on that for other reasons because our buddy Cornbread is out for the month, but we're planning on being there later.
No.
But we just decided we had to find a way to promote ourselves, and after a lot of discussions about how we could do different variations of promotion, that was the big ticket item that led us to an entire 12-hour day of promotion. And it was the most exhausting thing I think any of us have ever gone through. So completely worth it. We got more coverage just there than I think we could have on any of the stations, not like cutting any of them down, but that was like as hard of a time that was. It was so, I don't know. I was trying to say as hard of a job.
I'm tired just thinking about it.
Yeah.
It's like we got together at the Sloan's house at 5:30 and hit our first Starbucks at 6 in the morning. The first Starbucks had 2 40-year-old dudes that looked like they did not have time to hear what we were about to do.
They were sitting there thinking, man, I ain't got time for this.
Yeah. And I was like, it's 6 in the morning, and the tambourine I have to play is sounding like it's going to be way too loud for you right now.
We actually went in first, and we got coffee. And coffee and like some of their like donut-type things that they had, and sausage biscuits. And we got it. We walked out to the car, and we're like, all right. Because we didn't want to go in, play, and then buy coffee. We've actually talked about this before. When we were on our way down to South by Southwest, even, I remember we were there with, we were driving down with Ken, and then my brother and I, our dad came down with us because he was super pumped. He wanted to be a part of it, too. And they're like, all right, guys, so we're going to go in. We're going to bust into this Chick-fil-A because there's like 75 people in there, and then we're going to order our food. I was like, okay, here's the real plan. We're going to go in, order our food, then we'll go play because I'm not about to go eat my Chick-fil-A sandwich after I just tried to give a performance in Chick-fil-A. We don't know how this is going to go north or south yet, and I really don't want to have to deal with the interactions that people don't know how to have after something like that.
Yeah. Or they kick you out before and you don't get to get your food. You're like, I was really hungry.
That happened. Ended up being so cool, though, because there was a woman that owned a pizza chain down there and saw us there. It was so impressed that on our way home she's like, come play at our pizza place, do a mini acoustic show there at the pizza place, and then we'll load you up with food. And she ended up getting us salads.
So we did an acoustic set in this little pizza place, and it was really good pizza. Well, she gave us like they had the cooks cook us a whole tray of lasagna. And she was like, we're leaving. She was like, here, don't forget this. Also gave us, like, 8 pieces of cheesecake and all these different types of desserts and, like, drinks. And she was like, I want you guys to eat all
the didn't even sound good at that performance. We were all so tired.
It was terrible. Oh, my gosh.
Like, it was after we played All Right at South by South. South by
85
Southwest, like,
times.
800 times, basically, on the streets to try to get people at our shows.
Yeah.
And so our voices were totally shot. And we were trying to sing a set there, and we were like...
And we had just put on what I felt like was the set of our lives on that last show at Thirsty Night. Oh my gosh, I don't think that any of us have given more to a show up to that point. Now, like, we've continued to do more, and I think even just like this past show we did with The Urge, I think that's probably one of the most high energy shows that we had up to date. But that at that point, that was like the most intense.
It was the pinnacle.
Yeah, moment for Clockwork, and we left with the aftermath of giving it all.
Yeah,
yeah. And then the next day, trying to play that set, it was a hard one to get through.
Well, we got free pizza. So.
And wasn't I playing through your acoustic amp, my bass?
Yeah, my brother was playing. Is a bass through my acoustic amp. I was going through nothing and then just singing like out. And then Logan, you were playing just like your snare and like the floor. Or no, you were playing his
his bass case.
His bass case is a kick and stuff.
To kind of give like a bass drum sound.
Yeah, it didn't go.
It went over well at the place. We just weren't happy with it because we don't like that.
I'll say you're probably like your, worst critic, you know?
Yeah.
Actually, I still don't think it was very good, though.
I tell you, though, a free pizza and a tray of lasagna makes me want to start a band.
Oh, man, there was more than that. It was a smorgasbord.
That was the turning point of our band. I was like, anything else could happen, and this will have made it worth it.
Yeah.
What point did you know you made it? Well, we don't know. We got some free pizza.
I don't know that I would say we made it, but we definitely made our stomachs happy.
Yeah.
When did your stomachs know they were
Yeah.
It was such a cold Dallas area.
You mentioned that Urge show, man. That was a fun night. That was
That was
a good show.
That was the Urge. They're such cool guys. It's ridiculous. We've gotten to know John Pasoni a lot better. We got to record a track with him, and he's just such a cool guy. You know, I mean, they all are, but I mean, now we know. You know, we've spent a lot of personal time with John and really got to know some more stuff about the Urge that nobody else knows.
And even stuff about John, like, he's a wizard when it comes to just knowing things about recording and recording itself. He is more versed on the Beatles than anyone I think I've ever met in my life.
Oh, yeah.
To the point where he has learned how to record, like, certain things, like, the way the Beatles recorded to get...
You'd be like, hey, what's that one chord, like, 10 seconds into this song?
And he's like, bam. Like,
oh, this one?
And he's also one of those guys that's so good. He's so good at everything. Like, he really is. He's got so many talents. It doesn't just stop with drums. Man, he can sing his butt off, and he can... like play just about anything without even like thinking about it. And it's funny, like Logan Muller was even saying, he's like, John will do this like crazy awesome fill, and he'd be like, man, that was so sloppy. And then he'll be like, I hate you.
Go ahead.
I'll say it's probably one of those guys that like you could show him something one time and he'd be like a master at it in like 5 minutes. Yeah. Like,
you pay so much attention to detail.
My favorite part of the Urge show was that we were at John's house a couple weeks before that show. And he had this new kit set up at his house, the double kick. And I was super pumped. And he was telling me, he's like, man, I think I really want to play this at the two Urge shows. And I was like, dude, two kick setup. I mean, that's just, it's awesome, you know? Not many people do it anymore. And
it was such a pretty,
and
he's like,
he's like, go ahead, like, play it, you know? And of course, it's got like 8 toms. So, like, the first thing I do is that Phil Collins song, like the do 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 do. And like, so the entire time we're watching The Urge, right after we got off stage, I was just like, yeah, I played that kit. Yeah, I played it.
No big deal, man.
Oh my gosh. When I walked in and saw not just the amount of like production that they had brought in for that show, and then like to have that kit as the centerpiece of all of it, it just made my face light up. I was like, oh my gosh, he did it.
It was like 10 feet high too. Like,
dude, it was ridiculous.
Gosh, don't expect me to jump off something like that.
That's like a 2-story leap right there.
That was incredible, man. Just you guys and Matthias and the Pirates. That's my first time getting to see those guys live. I've been following them Matthias around for a while with some other projects, and for the first time getting to see the Pirates live. And I mean, from beginning to end, it was just a lot of fun being a part of that show. And,
that was an amazing show for us.
Yeah,
we really had so much fun, and we had probably one of the warmest welcomes from like the crowd there. I don't think that we've ever felt more comfortable.
Yeah,
and it was just really cool to get that.
Sure, that's one thing that the crowd was digging it. But it's kind of funny, like some people, you know, you kind of would look at you guys and like, for it's kind of a weird kind of pairing maybe that you would look at, like, you know, Clockwork and the Urge. But in the same sense, like, there's elements of what you guys do and what the Urge even has moments where there it's not very different. Like, yeah. You know, so that's what's kind of the Urge, you know, been doing as long as they have. There's a lot of different sounds
right,
throughout
yeah.
their recording.
And, that, oh my gosh, and yeah. that's what I was really worried at first, you know, the first time that we got the chance to open for the Urge, you know, a lot of people said their crowd was really unforgiving.
Sure.
And they turned me fast.
And I was like, you know, man, like, we're a lot different than we are, but then, you know, hearing their whole set live right after we played the first time, I was like, man, like, I mean, it really isn't that far off,
yeah.
you know, like, I mean, they definitely are, they have their own style, you know, you can tell, like, that's
yeah.
Urge, but it's like, you know, they don't clash at all, you
yeah.
know, it's not like having, like a metalcore band open for, like, a, like, Brad Paisley
yeah.
or something, you know?
That would be interesting.
Yeah, right, yeah.
I think one of the cool things about playing with those guys, at least from what the way that I see it, is they've really influenced us with stage presence and just overall energy on stage.
Yeah.
They have so much energy and just, like, they never stop.
Yeah,
they're
no,
just, they're so involved in everything. And it's really, I think, taught me the importance of that stuff and just, like, learning, like, what, like, to seize those moments when you really have an opportunity to move around, to scream at the crowd, to scream at a Logan or, like, something.
Dude, I don't know how Bill does it. It's like, if he's not playing, he literally just goes back and forth,
yeah.
sprinting the entire time. I run like half a block, and then I'm winded for, like, a week.
And he's got some ups, too, man.
Yeah.
Dude.
Some of those, he gets all the way up in the air. And
it's crazy, man. I don't get how they do it. I do not have the endurance for that. It's crazy.
But as I'll vouch for that as a fan. Like, I've watching your guys' shows for a couple years now. I can definitely see the live show coming together a lot more. Where, you know, like you said, where you're jumping up on his drums and
yeah.
mm-hmm. and stuff like that. Just you know, just
yeah.
a lot more stage participation and getting the crowd into it more and everything
yeah.
else. That's
something we've worked really hard on too.
Yeah.
It's hard, especially when you go and play tour or you go on tour and you play in front of, you know, not huge crowds. It feels really out of place. You know, you get
yeah.
up there and you feel like you're just being obnoxious because you're running around and jumping on stuff. But I mean,
sometimes it's kind of fun though to, like, for me, like, I'll go in and when I see them having fun, like, it's just, you know, contagious.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
It's like
yeah.
so where, like, when you kind of go ahead and you let them know, like, you kind of break that ice where it's like
yeah.
it's okay to move around and have fun with this. Like,
right, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
we're having fun. Let's all have a good time.
I don't think there's anything worse than going to see a good band that just bores you with their presence.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
they just sit there the entire time, look like they're having the worst night of their life, and you're like, how am I supposed to have fun if you look like you hate your
sure.
life? You know what I mean?
yeah.
So
well, we were talking, you know, because we went to Tell Story of the Year, and when I saw him in Columbia, the crowd wasn't huge, but, like,
mm-hmm.
I was really surprised by it. I mean, most people knew Story of the Year, but, like, Greek Fire.
Yeah.
You know, obviously had a knowing of them because of Phil and Ryan, but, like, I was really impressed at how well, like, they put on a show of just, like, the crowd involvement, and even if the crowd, you know, wasn't huge, because if it's smaller, it's hard to kind of, like you said, engage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, get them involved, but they did a really good job, and I think, yeah, bands that can really make that a focus of getting the stage presence big. And it doesn't mean you have to be doing 17 backflips and stuff all over the place. But just
right.
like you said, not standing there just strumming your guitar,
yeah.
like
yeah.
going through the motions. Like
right.
it is contagious. And I
yeah.
think it is almost really important to have
that
aspect to your show.
It's like, I mean, we've gotten to a point where, like, we had to do it at practice, you know, just to get ourselves
yeah.
used to it. Because it feels really, really weird. But then you look back on it and you're like, I mean, I guess it wasn't that weird. You know, we used to think that, like, you know, like, I don't know, smiling on stage was weird, for instance, you know what I mean? And then you just get to a certain point where you're like, oh, doing a backflip off a kick drum is normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, Jordan's, like, spinning around playing guitar.
right, yeah.
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 So, like, it just gives you the opportunity to just almost enjoy the music, you know, because you're just
mm-hmm.
having fun playing it and just
yeah.
jamming out instead
yeah.
of, like, feeling like you're obligated to be, like, professional in a sense. And
right,
you
right,
just
yeah.
have to play my song, I can't mess up,
right.
like, nobody's going to know necessarily.
It's, yeah,
you.
It's, I think that's what a lot of people forget. It's not all about the music, you know, you're trying to put on a show for people. You're
yeah.
not just there. I mean, yeah, like, the important part is making sure you sound good.
Yeah,
but
the music totally sucks, then the performance doesn't really come
yeah,
across
yeah.
the same way,
yeah.
but, like,
yeah.
But
I mean,
you can get the music to a certain point.
You're selling
yourself,
yeah.
making it,
right.
you're start making it more
you're,
interesting.
You're selling yourself as a person, too, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You want people to be intact with your personality, and you don't want to just look like a figure out there that's just cold.
I think
hard
that's something we've really been good at is none of us have gone out of ourselves. Like we're very much exactly who we are. Like on stage. I mean, it's like amplified kind of like we're in a performance, so we're giving it everything we've got as opposed to me sitting in this chair talking to you guys. But
yeah.
Like it's all within our personality, the stuff that we're doing. Like I don't think that I've ever seen my brother like go and just start waving at people in the audience or like blowing kisses. It's not really
the next show. He's just that's all he's got out there blowing kisses.
Yeah,
but see, Logan Moeller would absolutely blow kisses.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Like that's the difference. And
I do really weird things if people like make eye contact with me on stage. Like I'll just start staring at them and see who breaks the eye contact first. Like I'll be like in a really
serious beat. It won't be a normal
stare
either.
And I'll just keep staring at them like. Waiting for them to look away, I'm like, I'm gonna win this. I don't know what you're doing right now.
I think people like love that too. Like if they didn't know, like because that was stuff. Just watching, you know, a little more kind of behind the scenes of different bands and finding these kind of inside stories of it. Like that just makes it even more interesting and stuff that like you said, it kind of builds a personality for it. Not that it has to be like you're being somebody different, but you can kind of exaggerate and be a little
bit
more. And it, I just think it's awesome.
Yeah.
Like fans, I think really dig into that too and just appreciate it.
I just, you know, I think it's important because you're not actually having a conversation with them. So the way that you show them who you are, you know, that you can, you're an actual human being. I think that's what a lot of people forget. You know, like I forget, I go to, you know, I fangirl over bands and I go to their show and it's like, you don't even think of them as a person, you know, it's like, they're so unrealistic, but then you see them, you know, actually interacting with people and you're like, wait, that's just a dude. You know, he goes home and he gets yelled at by his girlfriend too.
He goes home, he has to worry about making his girlfriend mad, he has to worry about groceries, he has to worry about his electric bill. Everybody has the same stuff.
Well, that's
just...
I kind of touched on it when I went to the Black Keys with like you guys the other night.
Yeah.
And I'm standing next to Sam Bradford watching the show.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
All right.
I was like, well, granted, he's an athlete, not a musician, but the same thing. It's like, he's sitting there enjoying the show and like kind of wanted to go, hey, Sam Bradford, you know, and like, but as and the same thing where I was also kind of wanted to respect what he's doing because, you know, he's off the clock. He's enjoying it as a fan.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to, you know, take away from his experience. I want to treat him like a human and not let my fan, you know, come out like.
It's so funny because you see a person like that in the outside world and you're like, wait, you do other things?
Yeah,
right. You're real human?
Wait. This, you do sports. This is not a sport. You realize this isn't a sport, right?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Where's your helmet?
Where's your helmet?
That's what I was texting my wife. I sent her a picture. I'm like, pretty sure this is Sam Bradford right next to me.
Yeah.
And I was like, why isn't he wearing his jersey? So I know who he is.
my dad actually went out on a company dinner, and they ended up sitting like two tables away from Nelly at this super fancy restaurant. And my dad was like, "Wait, Nelly, you eat dinner? What are you doing here?"
It's like you aren't past that. I thought money bought out hunger.
Right, you just don't eat anymore.
You just absorb food. It's kind of weird though, because it almost like in a sense, like I think of. And this is back to the Story of the Year thing. Like, when I was in college, I was huge into Story of the Year. And, like, I had, like, the stripe in my hair from, like, that Phil had. I was just, like, obsessed with it. And now I kind of, and I'm older now, like, we were saying 10 years later. And I'm, like, I felt real stupid because I'm, like, he's just a dude. And, like, seeing him live, like, I've always hoped, like, we'd get him on the podcast sometime. But I'm just, like, if I did, would I be really weird around him? Or like,
right.
You know, it's just that same thing where, like, fangirl type thing. Where you're just dude, you were my inspiration for so long. You're just a dude. You're just,
exactly.
You got
that's
a family
crazy.
And stuff. I don't know. It's,
that's I've same kind of coming full circle with the urge. Like, when we had Steve on the show to, you know, grow up watching... the urge and listen to the music, and then having him on our on our show was was really a kind of a surreal moment to get to hang out and like same I've become friendly with Steve and
and
like it's just kind of strange that how put it all in perspective.
I was literally gonna say the same thing. It's, you know, we grew up listening to the urge. You know, I heard them on the radio all the time, and that's like my parents knew them and were really into them.
Yeah.
And it's like the first time we met them, I was so scared. I was like, I don't want to say anything because I was scared I would say the wrong thing. And then, you know, a couple times later, it's like we're just really good friends now. And it's like you're just a dude. You know,
yeah, right.
Like, I mean, you're still a really awesome dude.
Right.
Just, you're a human, so
yeah.
So you guys got some TV stuff coming up. I think last time we talked to you guys had just done Maybe just done like Fox. Or,
yeah.
Or,
yeah.
So
yeah.
You're doing Show Me St. Louis and then you're doing Fox next week? Fox.
Yeah.
Is that right?
We were unable to get Fox before the release just because, like I said before, with all the different things that have been going on in St. Louis, it's hard to really get people to commit to a band when there's huge stories other places.
Yeah.
But we were fortunate enough to get KSDK to take us on for an acoustic performance. We've never done that before news thing. So I think that'll be really interesting. And I don't know about you guys. We'll go ahead and discuss this now. What song do you guys want to play? I think we should play We Stood Tall, because that sounded really cool the other day. And I wonder if there's a way that you can do...
It did.
Kick, but Slayer, hi-hat.
We played a drum set.
Yes, yeah, I played a drum set. That's why it sounded cool.
But if you just did kick, snare, hi-hat, maybe a ride.
Yeah, it just depends on what KSDK wants.
Yeah.
I'll say, how does that work when you guys go into a TV studio? And like, do they have specific, like, this is all you can do or all you can bring? Or is it kind of...
For most of the TV stuff specifically, we've been able to bring everything. We hire a specific sound guy that we really like, Jerry Boschert. He's really awesome. So, bands listening, if you need a guy,
yeah.
A sound guy, this is my plug for Jerry. Check out, is it JB Sound? I think it's JB Sound.
I think it's JB Sound.
Yeah. So
Justin Bieber Sound.
He does
Justin
what we Bieber can't sound. Do, though. Because when we run our own sound, you know, of course, it's the entire really show, there's things squeaking.
Yeah.
Like, you can't hear any of the vocals.
People are like, is this a part of the song? Is that
Metal Saber? I've got a headache right now.
We can't even figure out how to, like, run our own monitors in here, you know? So
we figured it out.
We figured it out after a month. So we just plug and unplug wires in random places.
You hear something
come
out
of like, wait. I think I heard something.
They offered a course you could take. It was a one-day course, crash course on how to run sound. And we thought, oh, no, we could just spend a few months on it.
YouTube, that sucks.
Yeah.
It was 2 years ago?
Yeah. Just figured it out last week, too.
We actually had... our really good friend Scooter Baggins in today, helping us out, because he's going to be helping us out at the CD release, and he really hooked us up with our sound today. So even now, we are still like having help, which we're just glad he finally figured it out. Cause, he didn't finally figure it out. He showed up, and we finally got everything figured out because he's awesome.
And it's awesome. I don't know. I feel like everybody in St. Louis should know about Scooter, even if they don't. I mean, I'm sure they already do. But Scooter is like the guy to know, you know, of course.
He really is.
He was in Fivefold for a really long time. You know, he's done other things with other people musically, but musically. But
he's a great chef.
He's a great chef, yeah.
Exactly.
But he is the guy to know. I mean, he's like the nicest guy you'll ever meet in your life ever.
He's a very genuine person. He gives everything to you exactly the way he feels about it.
He's nothing but helpful. Yeah, he's just like, if you ever need to know a guy musically that would just help you out in any circumstance, even as a friend ever, I mean, Scooter's the guy to know.
Yeah. So, there you go.
There it is.
That's
Scooter, man.
Yeah, Scooter, we love you.
Yeah.
Scooter love. We'll just call this episode Scooter.
Yeah.
All right. Scooter. So one other cool thing you guys did, and Shane was a part of this, was letting a group of people, sorry, my sound is a little weird, come in and kind of check the album out and let's just see. So how did that go? Here's the rumor, and I was talking to Shane. Shane, I think, wanted every song on the album to be named after him or mention him.
It was the original plan.
It was difficult to deal with Shane.
Yeah.
It was, you know, I think that was probably really helpful. I mean, not probably. It was really helpful to all of us to just get the opinions and really see reactions from people that we knew had not heard the album before.
Yeah, it was very nerve-wracking.
And especially, like people that hadn't heard us play it live.
That's
the big thing, I think.
It was scary because that was the first time anybody outside of our families have heard, you know, what we were going to be, well, what we are so proud of, you know, of the new album. And so that was a stressful night just because, you know, we were all watching everybody's face to make sure, like, do they hate it?
Yeah, like parts when we knew, like, something was coming up, we were a little bit unsure about it because we were, like, really off in left field for, like, this one part of one song.
And it was
to watch it, see if people are going to cringe or they're going to be like, oh.
It was really helpful, too, you know, because we recorded way too many songs, so we knew we couldn't put all the songs on there. We weren't going to do a rush thing, you know?
Yeah.
So when it got down to it, and we collectively had kind of decided on the same songs of what we wanted to cut and what we wanted to keep, and then it turned out to be way different, you know.
Yeah.
And we let other people listen to it, and it was totally different from what we are.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, so. even
actually, I got the same answers as what everyone else did.
Yeah. Logan connection.
Jordan. Well, okay. Outside of Logan Sloan, no. I think it was really cool because I mean, I in my head thought that some songs needed to be re-recorded that a lot of people thought were the best song we had on the whole record, which is really. I don't know, eye-opening and just kind of cool to see that other people believed in even the songs that I thought, like, I didn't think that they were ready. And yeah. It was just cool to see that, get that from people that we were kind of, I don't want to say we were, like, super selective on who we had out, but we had people that we knew were, like, loved us or loved the band or both and just really cared about being there. So it was really great to see... the reactions of people that we knew had been a part of what Clockwork was doing for a while.
Yeah. Did you ever at any point, like when you said like those kind of little more left field moments, go be like, okay, so hold on, let's just stop the song real quick.
Wait.
So there's a part coming up that's gonna be a little different.
Keep an open mind.
Just keep an open mind on this. Okay, go. No, I'm just joking.
No,
that's awesome though. You kind of get that input.
We got a harpsichord right here.
No, it was pretty scary because we definitely had a couple leaps of faith on the record where there was spots where we were like, we're not totally sure about this, but we want to try new stuff. You know,
for sure.
And showing your parents for the first time, it doesn't really scare you, because you're like, whatever.
And even more
parents,
with the parent thing, do you remember back when, like, with our first the smaller LP that we did?
Out to Sea?
Out to Sea. EP? Out to Sea. Yeah, when we did Out to Sea, every single song we came home with, like, it didn't matter what time we got home. It could be, like, we got home at 7 p.m. or we got home at 3 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And, like, all of our parents and family, everyone's, like, all excited. Like,
let's
oh, my gosh.
Scramble.
Let's hear it. Like, everybody, like, oh, let's see. Let's get this plugged up. Like, we showed up, what was it, like, an 11:30 night or a midnight ending for recording. And, like, everyone's dead asleep. Could not care less. They're like, we might hear it tomorrow if we're all home.
Yeah.
And it's just so funny to see, like... Like, I'm not saying they didn't care at all, because I know they, like, all cared so much.
Yeah.
But it was just funny to see, like, even, like, how, like, things have progressed. We're, like, not that the excitement is gone, but, like, these are just, like, all things that we're learning and going through. Like, not just as a band, but as, like, families. Like,
it was really funny, because it'd be, like, every 2 days, we'd be like, we just recorded a new song.
And they're
just
like,
recorded a new song.
Yeah, exactly. And they're like, okay, yay. Like, what do you want? A cookie?
Yeah.
Come on.
You're in a band. We know
that.
Yeah,
you guys, you're in a band. We know it. Go tell somebody else. Mom.
When you guys record the next album, what you do is go up to your parents, give them like when it's done, give them like a Disturbed.
Yeah.
Or like something totally off, like a...
We did this really, really fun thing. I won't take long to explain it, but we... We recorded a song with our good friend Matt Emelong, at...
And props to him for helping us out with this, because this was the funniest joke we'd ever pulled on our band.
We worked all day on this song. Jimmy was really excited, our manager, because he actually had some friends of his from the Funky Brass Band come in and do horns on it. And so he was super pumped, it sounded really good. Well, Jimmy left, and it was a really long night. We all got really tired, so we were on that slap.
It's like
2 stage.
In the morning, ordering Domino's pizza, and like we're talking about hot dust and sprinkles.
So we finally got to this point where we're like, Matt, we need you to make this song sound as terrible as possible, but it's gradually throughout the song. That way it's still semi-believable.
Right? All the way until the end.
So by the time it got to the end, you were like, there's no way. This song sounds so bad. I mean, like, he pulled guitars out of tune. He made Logan and Jordan sharp and flat. And so many places.
Yeah.
Like,
Jordan was
he made
flat,
the,
like, just a little bit the entire time.
Yeah, the entire song. The actual pitch of the entire song was just moving up and down the entire time.
We had the horn section in and out of tune. Like, just, like, specific ones were, like, just the higher part of whatever one was playing. Was just like...
So we finally finished the song at, like, 3 in the morning. The first thing we do is send the bad version straight to Jimmy, and we're like, Jimmy, we worked all day on this, we're really happy with how it turned out, just
like
let us know
like we're all exhausted though, so like seriously just let us know. Apparently he listened to it like right then, and we talked to his wonderful wife Kelly Mano afterwards. And she said that he could not sleep that night. It haunted him so much.
He just thought, like, he's like just let it sit. Let him think about it.
I just heard my iPhone speaker. It was okay.
He came back to us in the nicest way possible. He was like, okay, there's a couple things I think need to be addressed.
Yeah, I think there
might be a guitar slightly out of tune in one of the choruses, and we were like trying to hold it together because it sounded terrible.
Oh my gosh. And then that morning, because he had sent over that stuff, like, yeah, the guitar's a little tuned, maybe some Vox stuff needs to be recut. And then that morning, he sends over, like, it's like 7 in the morning, he's like, okay, guys, like, that was the first one. The second one, he sends, like, 30 minutes later, he's like, I'm noticing some more stuff, and, like, he sent, like, 2 or 3 emails. But, and as they were going, they got more aggressive and angry.
By the last one, he was just like, what happened? What did you guys do there? He's like, it sounds terrible, I can't even stand
ruin this. He's like, this. And he's sitting there, he even had it in the message, he's like, I can't even believe Matt allowed this. Like, this is seriously, like, so unprofessional. And he was getting so mad, and then I thought Matt was actually tagged in this, because I had made, like, a deal with Matt. I was like, all right, Matt, I'm going to tell you exactly how this goes. Like, I'll call you, I'll let you know. But he had, like, tagged Matt in all the emails. Oh, yeah. And I guess it didn't go through to Matt's email, so I thought Matt knew it, and he was, like, we were all laughing about it. So by the time it all, like, fully came around, Matt still had no idea, and it was a great joke later. But, oh my gosh,
we eventually showed him the actual song.
And even our parents, like, I showed
it. Yeah, we did it to everyone.
We did show it to our brother, we showed it to, like, girlfriends, and, like, all of them.
They tried in the nicest way possible.
Oh my gosh.
Be like,
there might be something weird. I don't know what it is.
I remember talking, like, to our parents about it in the morning. Tom Sloan, our dad, was sweating in his chair that early morning as he was getting ready for work, so stressed out about, he couldn't believe that we had come home with, like, such a crazy piece of work. Yeah. And then it was even funnier to get Abby and Jacob's perspective on all of it, because they actually, like, they were like, okay, well, it sounds good. And, like, they both didn't know how to, like, they were, like, getting ready to
see. Jacob, my brother, he didn't say, like, anything. He just kind of sat there.
Yeah.
And Abby, his girlfriend, yeah. Jordan's girlfriend, she was like,
it's, they're good qualities into it. And she was, like, trying so hard to be so nice. And then, like, we're like, I can't believe you guys would lie to us. This is, like, not the real version. It's like, we didn't know how to do this. You can't put this kind of stuff on us. And, like, everybody was so...
It's just, I couldn't even believe that anybody went for it. Because by the end of the song, it was, like, hard to listen to.
Oh, my gosh. It was laughable. And even still, for us, we can't unhear it.
Oh, yeah. So there are parts where, like, one is, like, in this, like, first line that I sing, because that's the one that I sing the lead on.
Can you sing it? Can you do it? Just do it.
It wouldn't make sense. But it's, like, this the last note I do, it was, like, it was really flat in the bad recording, and we always hear it as flat, and it's just,
oh,
like,
my gosh,
kills
it's
us.
So funny.
Yeah. I think it was probably just fun for Matt to take a masterpiece that he spent all day working on. You know, saved, obviously.
Yeah.
But to take a masterpiece and just destroy it.
Massacre it.
I mean, I have to imagine for him that feels like getting, like, a nice new, like, flat screen and then just taking a crowbar to it.
Yeah,
all
right.
I mean,
yeah. You guys were, like, 30 seconds away from getting dropped from your management.
Yeah,
like,
right, yeah,
we gotta get these guys off. We made a huge mistake,
very
guys.
Very high tensions there for a little bit.
Oh, well, I'm sure they felt really good after they heard the... horrible one.
Yeah. So.
Or they're like, this is even worse. What are you guys doing? I said I want something better. Like,
right.
Yeah, that was a joke too, guys. Yeah, you just were playing around.
We'll get you the other one in a couple days.
Guys, go on.
Oh my gosh. I just even think about how, like, crazy horrible he made your bass sound.
Yeah.
Like,
it sounded like a piece of paper.
Yeah, it really did. It sounded like he was playing a paper bass. Oh gosh.
That's amazing.
It's like a dry fart. I don't even understand.
One day, you guys can release an album of, like, the like, alter universe recordings.
Oh,
and just do that to all your recordings.
Yeah.
People are like,
just terrible.
I think that's just... We just need to have a few little Easter eggs and, like, some stuff that we send Jim in the future. We just gotta make sure we plan it right so that he doesn't, like, foresee it or, like, think that it's a joke. Yeah. One day it'll actually sound bad, though, and he'll be like, all right, guys, come on. We'll be like, dang it.
I was really happy with that one, but that's cool.
Yeah.
So you guys got the release party again on December 13th.
That's right.
So that's probably majorly exciting.
Yes.
Oh, man.
I'd be, you guys are like, so cool.
Yeah. I'm actually, I'm getting pretty nervous. We haven't hosted our own, really, you know, like, a show that we've pushed this hard for in a while, you know.
I mean, the last one we did.
Not to say we don't push
show.
Hard for our shows.
No,
but
yeah, it's a little higher.
This one's totally on us.
Yeah.
It's like, it is our job to make sure this is absolutely successful. And I think the closer we're getting, the more stressful it is, and also the more relieving.
Mm-hmm.
Because...
we're almost there.
And we've really put so much into this. I am so hopeful that this is just one of the best shows that we... This is probably the most important show up to date for us.
Mm. It's just the... if we stand back and think about it, the entire last, like, year and a half has led to this night coming up, you know? So we have to make sure that it's all the way there. Otherwise, I'm just going to be devastated. Oh, yes. I'll slip into a deep depression and probably never play a show again. So. Oh, man.
Yeah. Do you guys feel yourself as a...
Wasn't going to take it that far.
Yeah. So he's going to not be in the band after the depression.
But right. So yeah, to end off this podcast, we're holding drum trials. Yeah.
They have a nice practice room, so that's cool.
Yeah.
One last thing, I was curious. Do you guys feel yourself as a band as more like developed more of a leadership to other bands, or more of a maturity towards other bands, you know, compared to like being younger and coming up and looking up to other bands? Do you kind of see yourself still as like a I'm trying to think how to say it. I mean, do you feel a little more confident? Yeah, I mean, do you guys feel like you're, especially now with the album going to record, do you feel kind of like you've hit a different level of
I don't like to say that we're I don't even, it's something that I wouldn't like to, I don't think that I would say that I would put us above other bands. I think that we have so much that we still have left to learn. I hope that other bands can really learn stuff from us, because I feel like we have learned so much in the 4 years, and even more than that. We've been playing together for longer than 4 years, but like almost 4 years of clockwork.
And it's funny how it works, you know, like when you're growing up and all you wish for is to be taller.
Yeah.
It's like you keep getting taller, but it happens and you never realize, and you're just like, oh, if I could just get like this much taller. Well, it's like the same thing, you know, we keep finding bands the next level and we're like, oh, if we could just be like those guys, you know, a couple years ago we were like, oh, we wish we had this.
I wish we could play a Blue Ray.
Right. And then we got to Blue Ray Hill and we were like, oh, we wish we could play the Pageant.
We played the Pageant, like, oh, we just wish we could
We're forever wishing that we could just be the next biggest band, you know what I mean? So we always have someone.
I think you put it in a good way, though.
You can open for us.
Like, in the sense of like, showing bands that are up and coming, you know, still coming.
Yeah.
Not saying you're better than them, but giving them, be able to kind of hand out pointers and say, hey guys, this is some advice to to see this.
You know, if there are bands that are looking up to us, I really hope that we're putting on some sort of a really good impression of something that like is good to follow. And I think that's something that we really strive to do.
Well, and that's what we just got done playing that School of Rock show with Steve Ewing. He came in and did some
big Chesterfield amphitheater thing, and then
that was
reschedule for the old Rock House.
It was really cool because, you know, it's always been us looking up to other bands.
Yeah.
And I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth saying they looked up to us, but we had a lot of kids say, like, oh, you guys get to do what you want. You know, that's really awesome.
Yeah.
You guys get to play awesome shows, and you play really well and stuff. And it was cool to hear that in turn, because I'm like, I'm supposed to be saying that.
Yeah.
Right.
It's funny because we're typically the young guys playing with the guys that have been in this. This is, like, their professional job.
The guys that have seen 30 years on the road, and they look terrible, and they're like, ugh.
Not Steve, though. Not Steve.
That's great. That's great.
It was just really cool to, I don't know, have that platform to be able to have things kind of flip. We were the, we weren't the big act, but we were among some of the featured bands that they had on. I mean, they put us on TV to help promote it. They had done some really cool things for us. Mm-hmm. And I think that it was awesome to be able to be in a separate position from what we're typically in.
Right.
Of just being, like, the band that's really learning. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you guys definitely seem very, humble and definitely like approachable. You know, you don't seem like your guys that are like, well, we got an album out now, so don't talk to us. You know, you guys just seem, I mean, just rad, you know, so it doesn't seem like the millions and millions of dollars you've made now as we sit in your mansion has gone to your head. So,
so thank you for meeting us in our hovercraft.
Now, if you just stand here, you'll be teleported back to your car. But no, I mean, I wish you guys the best of luck on your release show. But
thanks.
From what I've heard from the album, I'm going to listen to it probably all the way through when I get home.
I hope you love it, man.
From what I heard, it's awesome.
I'll tell you right now, I listened to it probably at least a dozen times already. I haven't backed you guys on the Indiegogo campaign, and you guys had, that was one of the perks of getting it early.
Yeah.
And so I've been on probably a couple days in a row. It really helps for me at work.
Yeah.
Because it's a fun, there's a lot of fun upbeat tracks to it. So they makes the work day go by. So yeah, I love the record though, beginning to end. I think it's fantastic, and I said some nice things on Facebook.
I really appreciate those nice things. Thank you so much.
I really. But I mean it, man. I think the record's incredible. I think So when you guys become, you know, huge, just check out. I'll drive the bus or whatever.
We yeah, there you go.
The hovercraft.
Yeah,
yeah.
When we become
no, that, that really, that helps because we're still really scared, you know. Not very many people have heard it, so.
Sure.
You know, we're still worried that a lot of people
like
are going to hate it.
But we're hoping everyone else
yeah.
does too.
Yeah.
Can I put you on the spot and ask you which is your favorite?
I think I kind of mentioned it. What's To the Top?
To the Top?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the way, I don't know, I mean, the some of them, but that one sticks out to me, the way the chorus punches just right
yeah.
in the face, man. Like, and awesome. It's just, it's fun. To,
yeah, yeah.
I'm glad you love that one.
Yeah.
I like playing that one.
That was, yeah, it was, that was one that when we went into the studio, we did not have any idea how it was going to turn
yeah.
out. We really
yeah.
did not. We showed up, we hadn't really been playing that song out. It was actually originally meant for the acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
And, after working with Chris Ranger on that one, he really helped turn that song into a masterpiece.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
I think it's really a cool sound. And it's a lot different than anything you guys had, like, on Out to Sea
yeah.
or anything else. So it's, like, it's fun to watch how it's evolved. And another favorite on the whole other end of the spectrum is We Know It's Rough.
Yeah.
I think that's a really cool... different sound too, you know, more of the acoustic piano kind of vibe, and that's for me, it's just fun to see how different the album is. Like, I mean, it didn't, like I said, and when we had that listening thing, there's a lot of totally different sounds, and like, and that's what
yeah.
I love about going through that album is, you know, none of them sound the same, so it's just it's fun to as a fan to listening to it back.
Thanks, thank you so much.
So, yeah, man.
That's awesome. And the CD itself looks great.
Yeah, yeah,
anyway,
cool.
The picture on the back, when you pick up your album at the release show, look at the back.
Yeah.
It's a rad picture you guys just
I think the second we all saw that picture,
yeah,
we're like,
oh,
man.
Thank you, Kenny Barr, for
yeah.
your wonderful
yeah.
photography
yeah.
at the Urge show.
We haven't even mentioned about the release show, your special guest.
Yes, I know. We got to
yeah.
get on that.
So we got Mr. Steve Ewing himself of The Urge will be
right.
Opening for you guys, right?
No, CD release is complete without Steve Ewing.
Right.
Yeah. Honestly, that's another thing. Like, I working with some of these people, having the opportunity really to work with Steve Ewing and also the other person involved in the show, Tess Boyer from The Voice, it's weird to say opening.
Yeah.
I almost would
yeah.
prefer saying, like, we are very excited to have these people joining
yeah.
us for this show
it's
because
all, yeah,
I hate
for us,
yeah.
But,
yeah, they're playing before us, but like thinking about like Steve Ewing opening the show, Steve's
yeah.
like I don't know, he's
I tell you, I mean that's a good opening act though, to like get
yeah.
the crowd up.
Oh my gosh,
yeah,
yes.
Oh, yeah, man,
he's so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was telling Chris, I'm pretty sure it's I got the line right, but I was thinking of the. I'm pretty sure it's in Wayne's World where he's like, they're going to talk about Aerosmith opening for Blue Oyster Cult.
Yeah.
And yeah. Okay.
And then 1 year to the date,
yeah.
Blue Oyster Cult opened for Aerosmith.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And I thought of that with, just made me laugh, but even not quite the same, but it's,
yeah.
What? This is funny.
They need
that,
bigger lips to be Aerosmith.
Yeah.
Like,
sure.
No,
yeah.
But no, man, I'm super pumped about the show and what, $10 to get in, $15 for
yeah.
a CD.
Yeah, it's $10 to get yourself in, and if you want to get the CD for the cheapest price you will ever be able to purchase it, it'll be $15 for your admission.
Isn't there going to be more even if you? I feel like
if you walk into the
yeah.
show and you decide not to buy it on your way in, it will be $10 once you get inside.
Yeah.
So you have to make that decision if you want the CD or not, or if you want
yeah.
to pay $10 for it instead.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
that is. That is the deal. And we're just really excited to get it in the hands of everybody.
Yeah. Sweet. Well, again, December 13th. And check you guys all out on, like, social media because you guys
are
posting stuff all the time.
Yeah.
And it's,
those Starbucks videos are a lot of fun. And little snippets. And
34 Starbucks.
Yeah. It was a hard day.
I want to forget about that day.
we were all so, I don't know, weary of that day. It was looming over us like the dark, rainy cloud of life. And we finally got through it, and it was really fun. We went and we spent the day, the three of us and our manager, Jim. And really, that it's those kinds of things that you look back on, and it becomes a memory that I think I'm always going to hold on to. It will be one of those things that I'm like, man, that was so hard. But it was really fun.
It was really tiring, but it was it was pretty fun.
Sure.
Like, it was just hard to get through.
It'll be more fun with more time between us and that point in our lives.
Right. I think my favorite moment of watching those throughout the day, I think it was the very last one you guys did. There's like you're playing, and then there's a guy like just like walked right between you guys, like,
Oh, yeah, dude. That guy was not having it.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, man.
What, people are playing music here again?
This is the 12th Starbucks I've been to. Why do these guys keep showing up?
Me.
What's going on?
Yeah. Jeez.
Well, thanks guys again for hanging out with us again. It's a blast. I hope there's a third time we have you on.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks so much for having us.
That's fun. And December 13th at the Duck Room Blueberry.
You want to throw All Right on the end of the song?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we do. Stay tuned for All Right.
Yeah. All right. Rock Paper Podcast, episode 34 with Clockwork for the second time. Thanks again, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for having us.
See you guys.
Past. I've been covering up my past. Loopholes and lies just in disguise. I found my legs can carry me at last. Rage boils in my blood. When control is something out of reach, I lose my feet, I can't even run. So I can't go. I should know. Wash these hands from filth. We both know how long time takes to heal. So it's a slow we climb. But in the end, I know we will be fine. So I can't. I should know. I can't go. I should know. We'll be alright. Oh, my love. You've come. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.